Around Christmas 1987, a friend of mine, who had just spent her first term away at college in Guildford, returned home to Manchester for the holidays with her new boyfriend in tow. Despite the fact that he'd obviously never been north of Luton in his life, Ed turned out to be a perfectly acceptable bloke, and he slotted comfortably into our little gang of mates, most of whom took his Hertfordshire accent to be that of a Cockney. One evening, Ed happened to mention that he'd been shopping in town early that day and had walked from Victoria Station to Piccadilly Station. He was wondering, quite innocently, if there were any other place names in Manchester that had been stolen from London. I was appalled that he could think that. It had genuinely never occurred to me that some people associated the names of Victoria and Piccadilly more with London than with Manchester. Of course, I knew there was a Victoria Station in London, but I think I'd always subconsciously assumed it had been given that name because the National Express coach from Manchester terminated there. I was also aware, of course, of London's Piccadilly Circus, and had even been photographed in front of Eros, but had always felt that Piccadilly was more our name than theirs. After all, as well as the train station, Piccadilly Gardens and the Piccadilly Hotel, Manchester's only commercial radio station at the time was called Piccadilly. How much more of a claim could we have? A decade and a half later, I am a tediously London-centric expat Mancunian living very happily in the East End, and have finally accepted that Victoria and Piccadilly were named after their southern counterparts. In my mind's eye, I see a committee of northern Victorian industrialists, all watch chains and mutton chop sideburns, defiantly hooking their thumbs into their waistcoat pockets and declaring that if those two names were good enough for the capital of the empire, then they were good enough for the industrial capital of the world. Of the two stations, it's Piccadilly that I feel nostalgic about years down the line. As far as I remember, Victoria was only served by local trains which went to silly places like Halifax and Morecambe, but Piccadilly was the glamour station where the intercity trains stopped. A trip to Piccadilly always meant we were visiting family in Scotland, London or Ireland, or were heading all the way down to the south coast to catch a ferry to France. Piccadilly station was the gateway to the world. After school and then college, my work began to dictate that I spent a lot of time in London, and eventually moved down there to make myself more employable in a competitive freelance market. Piccadilly then, formerly the gateway to the world, became the gateway to home. When, a few years ago, the biggest bomb to be used against civilians since World War II exploded on Cross Street in the centre of Manchester, I was asleep in Hoxton and knew nothing about it until about 5 hours later. When I eventually heard about the explosion and discovered its location, about 20 feet from my first place of work and where I still knew a lot of people, I felt violated and personally attacked. I was very keen to see the damage for myself, and on my next visit home, headed straight from Piccadilly to the bomb site. When I arrived at the scene, I became confused and disorientated, as although I was standing on a street I'd walked down a million times before, I not only didn't recognise it, I actually couldn't remember what it had looked like before the attack. The IRA bomb, and then the successful bid to host the Commonwealth Games, was the start of a process of massive change in Manchester, which saw huge areas of the city regenerated and improved at a startling rate. As my visits north became fewer and further between, I would emerge from the station into an increasingly unfamiliar place, until one day, I disembarked from the London train and discovered that the Piccadilly station I knew, shabby, smoky and full of naff 60s tack, had gone. In its place was a shiny steel and glass structure designed in the house style of Norman Foster. I don't go through Piccadilly Station much anymore. Since starting a family, the only feasible way of visiting Manchester has been to drive up the M6 with kids, cots, bedding, toys, nappies, changing mats and all the other associated kits squeezed into every crevice of our two-door car. As the buildings, open spaces and municipal monuments of my hometown are removed, replaced and altered, I feel that I should care, and that I should be protesting about them taking away my roots. But really, I don't care, and it doesn't matter. My son has now got to an age at which the boundaries of his world are definable, and I see them widen slightly every day.
Yeah.
His Piccadilly Station, the landmark that indicates he's in his patch of the world, is the Canary Wharf Tower, only 10 minutes walk from his front door.
Canary Wharf.
Yeah.
Towards the end of our long journeys back from Manchester or Cardiff, the flashing beacon on top of the tower is clearly visible as we come inside the M25.
There is.
And Tom now recognises this as home.
There's what?
One day, he might have a Piccadilly moment when he wonders why on earth some idiot somewhere in the world decided to name that nice yellow bird after a skyscraper. With any luck, he'll realise that a skyscraper is just a big building containing lots of offices, just like a train station. It's just a big building that trains stop at, and his particular connection to it is just one of millions, one for everybody who's ever been there or seen it. My Piccadilly station, although gone, still exists because it never really did exist. It was never really mine. It was only ever just a jumble of associations attached to a building. Piccadilly station is no longer there, but then neither am I, so I can't really complain, can I? Thank you.